A SWAT team once terrorized the community it was meant to protect, racking up 17 formal complaints each year and bleeding the city dry with lawsuits. Then something shifted. Not the personnel, not the policies, not the budget. What changed was how the team saw the people they encountered. Within months, complaints dropped to zero, where they stayed for 12 years. This wasn't a fluke. Across industries, from debt collection agencies doubling recovery rates to automakers surviving financial collapse, a pattern emerges. The greatest barrier to success isn't external circumstances, but how we see the world around us. Research shows that organizations addressing mindset at the outset are 4 times more likely to succeed in change efforts than those focusing only on behavior. The reason? Behaviors drive results, but mindset drives behavior. Most of us unconsciously see people as vehicles to use, obstacles to blame, or irrelevancies to ignore. The executive nodding through meetings while mentally drafting emails, the parent playing basketball with their child without asking if they even enjoy it, the leader implementing helpful solutions without understanding what people actually need. This isn't cruelty, it's self-deception wearing the mask of good intentions. When Chip Huth led that troubled SWAT team, he brought his difficult childhood into every interaction, approaching suspects with militaristic aggression. His young son's observation, calling him a robot, cracked open a realization. Chip had been treating everyone as objects. Officers started mixing baby bottles for crying infants during raids, explaining their actions to frightened families, following up with communities afterward. The impact was seismic. 0 complaints, improved safety, higher arrest success. The unit became a national model, not through new tactics, but through seeing people as people. Descartes left us a dangerous legacy, the illusion we're isolated individuals. But your genetic code carries countless ancestries. Your language came from those around you, and even your most private emotions stem from experiences with others. Mirror neuron research confirms what philosopher Martin Buber observed. We exist in relationship, not isolation. Leaders with an isolated leader mindset see their job as getting others to comply through incentives or threats. They create compliance, not commitment. When Louise Francesconi's Raytheon executive team faced a directive to cut $100 million in 30 days, they initially protected their own divisions. The breakthrough came when they considered the human impact. One executive volunteered to fold his division under a colleague's, saving $7 million. This collaborative approach doubled their business when experts predicted only 5% growth. Most organizations rate between 2 to 4 on the mindset continuum, yet leaders consistently overestimate their own outward mindset by 2.5 points. That gap between perception and reality is where transformation lives. We see others as objects because admitting we're part of the problem means confronting our self-deception. Chris Wallace blamed his father for everything until 17-year-old Anne challenged him. Your dad is dead. Those things going on inside your head, he's not responsible for them. You are. He'd never seen his father as a person with burdens and needs, only as the source of his pain. The Arbinger Institute caught themselves doing this while pitching a crucial contract. They anxiously focused on needing the client's money rather than helping them. Only when they shifted to being as helpful as possible did they succeed. Years later, they discovered another blind spot. Though they trained facilitators effectively, they weren't understanding clients' broader organizational needs, being outwardly nice while maintaining an inward mindset. Joe Bartley thought playing basketball with his children was good parenting until his daughter Anna revealed she didn't even like basketball. This is the most dangerous form of inward mindset, when we feel we're doing things for others but aren't paying attention to their actual needs. Recognizing that the problem isn't out there, it's in how we see, is the first step to change. People with an outward mindset follow 3 steps. See others, their needs, objectives, and challenges, adjust efforts to be more helpful, and measure impact, holding themselves accountable for results. Bill Bartman's debt collection company CFS2 exemplifies this approach. Instead of aggressive tactics, they helped debtors find jobs, write resumes, and connect with support services, all free. This yielded collection rates double the industry standard because clients felt genuinely helped and wanted to repay. Alan Mulally's Ford turnaround demonstrates the pattern at scale. In 2006, Ford was losing $17 billion annually, yet executives blamed others while rating themselves highly. Mulally implemented weekly meetings where leaders color-coded their performance: green for on-plan, yellow for at-risk, red for off-plan. Initially, all charts were green despite massive losses. The breakthrough came when Mark Fields reported red on the Ford Edge launch. Rather than punishing Fields, Mulally applauded his transparency and asked, "Who can help Mark with that?" This transformed the culture. Team members openly shared challenges and collaborated on solutions. Ford became the only American automaker to survive the 2008 financial crisis without government assistance. A power company struggling with lengthy budget planning had 40 leaders map their process. When the planning team presented their role, they realized they knew 80 to 90% of projects by mid-January, but waited until May to pass them to engineering. Simply seeing others' needs more clearly shaved 3 months off the timeline. Shifting to an outward mindset requires consistent practice, like engineer Destin Sandlin's 8-month journey to master a backward-steering bike. Organizations can start small, dedicating 5 minutes of meetings to building lateral awareness or clarifying collective goals. Dan Funk revitalized a failing healthcare facility by working alongside employees and asking, "What needs do your patients have?" One admissions director he'd nearly dismissed flourished when given expanded responsibilities, bringing in numerous new patients. The real challenge comes when others invite inward responses, like the woman who wrote monthly letters to her estranged brother for 7 years without reply. True outward mindset persists regardless of reciprocation. Mark Boliff felt victimized by his boss until a mentor's feedback prompted him to question his self-justifying narrative. Writing down both his failures and potential contributions freed him to take responsibility and flourish professionally. The central question remains: what can I do to be more helpful? Our mindset, not others' behavior, determines our results. We've forgotten something fundamental. We don't exist in isolation. Your success is woven into everyone around you. That incompetent colleague might have the insight that saves your project. That difficult client might become your greatest advocate. The journey begins with recognizing that the problem and the solution starts with how you choose to see. When you see others as people with needs and challenges as important as your own, you unlock possibilities for collaboration and mutual success that simply don't exist within an inward mindset. Start somewhere. Do a little at a time. Persist through the wobbliness. Turn your mindset outward today, regardless of whether anyone else changes theirs. The world needs you to see beyond yourself and discover what becomes possible when you do.